You know, it doesn't mean you still can, you can still tell us. What is your name? I forgot.
I'm Harley. Yeah.
You're what? Carly?
Harley with an H.
Oh, Harley. Okay, it doesn't mean you can't keep talking. I'm just going to turn on the recording. So,
Okay.
I did. Anyway, so this is May 11th, 2016, at Courtroom Observer Committee, and we've been talking to Harley about his situation in Vermont. Sorry about that. I gotta take my arrow off of there. Okay. So does anybody have anything to add to Harley's? And is there anybody else in from Vermont that's on the call?
I don't think we have anybody else coming along right now.
All right. Well, that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you a slight bit more, I had already followed some advice from John. I mean, I've been following this process for months before that happened, trying to be as prepared as I could. And so I filed in Supreme Court, and then they tried to kick it back down to the Superior Court of the county again, and then I had already gotten a number up there registered, and then all of a sudden I finally got a letter that said that the court up state had asked for it back. So it's lodged in Supreme Court, and apparently Linda's working on the rest of my I sent the rest of the stuff for a federal case on that. We
So
don't hold out a lot of hope.
do you have any friends that are rallying around you?
Well, it's really hard. I mean, people run for the hills, anything legal, you know, and they're just, you know, everybody's shy of this stuff. We've been so browbeaten, and I give them that excuse, but and I've been trying to keep my family, you know, separated from it. Young daughters that have kids, you know, it's like it's not their problem. It's not their jihad. But in that said, I do have, you know, a Nexus group, you know, and some people would show up, and you know, I've been front loading a lot of stuff on Facebook and YouTube over the last year, especially in the last 6 months, or six videos under Earth Geek and People's United Bank fraud, up there, original ones. And I post documents and all kinds of stuff right on my William Blake Facebook. Anybody wants to see that? I'm
And
just
you, would you
depressed.
mind,
Sheriff,
would you mind telling again why this happened? I missed it. I'm sorry.
No, I had a long drag, knockdown, drag out with the bank. I was only a few thousand, you know, in arrears. I was late in getting an answer on Social Security disability. I'd transitioned out of another job and couldn't start the business I wanted to because my disabilities picked up. And again, it was only a matter of a few thousand dollars at that point. Well, they doubled it. And you know, went through all kinds of things that they do to grease the skids out from under you. Got me in bankruptcy court and blew that away twice. I had a terrible bankruptcy lawyer, wouldn't do anything I asked, wouldn't give me any information. Then I called around for 2 months to try to get represented after the final being dumped out of bankruptcy court unceremoniously on a time I wasn't even there. I don't even know what they discussed or what they based it on. I was making payments to bankruptcy court, to them directly, to the bank, and they scuttled it on purpose.
You mean they said they never got it?
No, I made the payments under bankruptcy court in a restructure promise, right?
Yeah.
And the lawyers were so vicious that they've been going after me so hard that they did everything they could to poison pill. And so they control the bankruptcy process. One creditor, you know, with a ugly lawyer can scuttle your whole bankruptcy, apparently. And my lawyer was just supposedly on my side was just cutting red meat all day. You know, I mean, if they'll sit in the chair and say, yay, I'll pay the payment, and they're upside down in their mortgage, I'm sure they do that all day long. But I was the opposite. I owed like $47,000 on a $250,000 property.
All right.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I know. So what about any oath keepers up there? Because I had some friends that in Southern Oregon that they've just held out on their property. They've been thrown in jail twice for trespassing on their own property, and this has been over 2 years. But the oath keepers have been going up there and protecting them too.
Well, they were scared to death I was going to do that. I ran some hypotheticals across, bank secretaries and different people in Vermont government, and then they spread rumors about me and totally hearsay and slander, and I guess that was the pretense that the cops used for being so heavy on me. Again, no priors, no threats, nothing to hang their hat on whatsoever. But they try to dirty you up, and this People's Bank has a history of it. You look up James Hastings and People's United Bank. To get him to be a felon and stuff is horrible. Horrible.
Oh, I know. Okay.
I talked to the Attorney General about a class actions thing, so who knows?
Okay, well, just make sure that you get, you fill out the forms on the courtroom observer thing and look at the protocol, because it's really good for you to have witnesses.
No, I've been thinking about that a lot. And, again, this is like an evidentiary hearing on the criminal thing, where they kidnap me off the road on the way to the sheriff. It's not the case itself over the land, but still it's pretty important. But I don't know if it's going to be just like 20 minutes or something, There's something about the disclosure process. They won't let me have the video that I requested because it's part of a criminal investigation. Well, I'm the guy. Why have to I wait through a discovery process, whatever that is?
So what, you were going to the sheriff. So is the sheriff a friend of the people?
Well, that's in some dispute. I mean, I have an email chain because he answered the FOIA request first, and he had been talking to me about constitutional stuff. I mean, I've talked a lot about this to John and Gerard in the group. And, we're on the fence with him. I'm trying to get a personal audience, but I don't drive, and I'm, a state away. Every time I've tried, it hasn't worked out. And strangely enough, when I got out of jail, here's weirdness. I had papers for him, and I wanted him to attend an online meeting. And so I went over, I emailed and called him, and I went over to his neighborhood, and his neighbor met me on, the hillside of the driveway and said, he doesn't want to see you, and da-da-da. But he gave him messages, and he came back out with messages, so it wasn't totally unfriendly. But right after that night, I had the cops at my friend's door, where he's couch surfing, to give me not one, but two restraining orders, one against the sheriff's house and one against a house of some employee that lived down the road that I didn't even know. And so on top of that, they dragged me in for an emergency ex parte, la la la, and the judge was going to try to get a no contact order and stay off the road. But I explained to him the whole mess, and I'm like, this is just ridiculous. I just, was still in town, and they have very short hours at the sheriff's office, and I notified him, and I didn't pose any threat, and you're going to interfere with my ability to talk with my sheriff. And so he backed down, and he just put the same restriction onto my orders I had to sign again. That's just like I voluntarily signed the stupid restraint because I didn't want anybody to feel, embattled or threatened in any way. I've been feeling that for a year now, being terrorized by this bank. Drones and car drive-bys and harassment letters and everything under the sun, people, cops showing up. I mean, watch those videos in Earth Geek, right? Confront the sheriff where he's there to protect the auction process when it should have been turned off because I had filing against that. You know, we're all cordial. You know, nothing was ever, you know, violent, but no, they got to overreact to everything.
Wow.
And just one more thing. Why did they put you in jail?
To get me out of the way so they could plow down my farmstead.
I mean, on what pretense? I mean, what was their charges? What?
Trespass.
Trespass. Okay.
Suspicion, your probable cause of trespass. And the thing is, there was no warrant, nothing signed by a judge. They made up an affidavit the day of, you could tell, and it was early in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's dated that day. It's not even dated the night before. So they're just making it up as they go along.
Well, did you feel threatened? Did you feel like they were going to shoot you like they did LaVoy if you didn't do what they said?
Yeah, by the time...
Yeah, I would have.
I'm laying on the ground, and I even said, just shoot me. I'm LaVoy Finicum. It's on the tape.
That's not funny.
I was dead by then, because I'd ask them for the warrant. I'd ask them why they were taking me. I'd ask for the guy's bond, who was the main guy talking to me. And they accused me of resisting arrest. After I had been on the ground voluntarily, handed my hands to them, and they put their foot in my back and made me rear up, and they called that resist, because they were coached. They were coached on everything.
Yeah, it sounds really horrible, and I didn't mean to laugh, but I was laughing because I wouldn't have been able to think that fast to say what you said. But it sounds like the same exact type of shenanigans.
Oh, yeah, and I'm depressed because, you know, I get these crazy long diatribes from the other party saying how I don't have any standing and that, you know, there's no deadline and this happened back in 2014. All this telling the Supreme Court to throw my case out. You know, of course that's what they're going to do because they don't want to look. I was turned down for discovery process. I was turned down for different venue, was turned down for jury. I asked for all these things. I just needled the hell out of them every step along the way, and that's why they hate me.
Well, good.
But there's a lot in the record.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
I'm sorry that's happening to you.
Yeah. It's my life's work, so it's worth working on. I just try not to be, you know, too overwhelmed and depressed. That's all I do every day, you know.
Laura, do you have any particular thing you want to talk about tonight? Because we are on a tighter schedule tonight. So,
is there a call at 9 o'clock?
I thought there might be. Let me check.
Yep.
There is a call at 9.
What is it? God, I'm so confused. Do you know
probably
what it is?
Is it the federal district leader call?
Oh,
yep.
It is. Okay. All right, so we have to get going. Well, I actually was wondering because before I was getting tons of cases. Not that I'm not saying that it's good. I mean, it is good that there may not be as many cases, but I've been a little concerned because I haven't been getting any. I don't have any in the queue. I don't have, you know, I don't have anything to send out to people. So I was wondering what is going on. Are people just thinking there's no, you know, there's no reason, there's no hope in it, or there isn't any cases. Maybe everybody's done stuff, but I, maybe it slowed down. Maybe because what we're doing is, I just.
Well, I kind of wonder maybe it's because we're not putting the word out there for people to send cases to us, or maybe they're not as effective. I don't know whether people are getting them or not.
You might have a bubble. I've been talking and listening a lot with Linda, and they had stopped doing habeas corpus. They had stopped doing a lot of things, but they just restarted in the last week. And so everybody with details and things like mine, I suspect, are going to start hitting the grid for you guys. But I think the communicating where the process meets is really important.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And we've gotten thrown off of here a few times, so that we were getting off our, you know, our momentum, because they would say, "Oh, we're going to just do another call in this slot," and you know, I'd be left out, and you know,
right. And the other thing I'm seeing too, I'm not sure if there is a meeting tonight at 9, because I'm looking at the newsletter and it doesn't look like there is. So,
okay,
I don't think.
Nathan?
So, Harley, do you think that there's going to be a lot more people sending in courtroom observer requests?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good. I have not gotten around to doing that other thing that I said I was going to do, which is set up a form so that we can actually call the jails and speak to the warden or whatever, or the sheriff, you know, about upholding people's constitutional rights, because there's a ton of people in there that have no charges against them whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking of a protocol. I mean, we really could talk to the same questions and concerns we would have if we're talking to the sheriff or the judge or the clerk.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people, kids are in jail for nothing, too. And it would be good just to stir that up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because really, we have so many. If really we have so many watching these people, you know, they're going to start, and we're educating them, you know, that they start wondering what's going to happen to them if they keep participating in this way.
Question?
Yeah.
Are they able to put people into jail without giving them charges because of the Bill Clinton bill that was the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996? I just printed something out from The Intercept the other day that says he was gutting habeas corpus by signing that act into law in 1996. Is that the beginning of all this of suspension of the writ of habeas corpus?
I think they've been going at it for a while. I mean, it's been a
I don't know if that's, yeah. If,
yeah.
They just, to me, have been doing whatever they want. It doesn't even matter whether they have something in writing or not. They just, like, it's like what Harley said. They just keep making up stuff, and they just keep making up documents. And, you know, the same thing with, you know, I told you guys about that woman that has a, she has a private auditing firm, and that Seattle City Council hired her company to audit the mortgage problem. And she said when she came back, and she had 200 houses that she was looking into. I mean, it was just, you know, so that she could get some kind of pattern. She said there was only, out of those, only 9 houses were. And the other people had no idea their property was in jeopardy because nobody following the chain of documents or title. They weren't filing the documents they were supposed to. Nothing really gelled in the city council and really let them have it. And they got so mad they tried to get her to sign a non-disclosure agreement. She wouldn't do it. And so... been trying to hide her report, but she, you know, she's telling everybody, and she's holding these summits. But what it makes it sound like, I mean, when I'm listening to her, is that they just make it so they can make up any document they want. They, you know, they mess it all up, and all the people I know personally, you know, they try to get you to miss a payment, and they tell you to miss a payment. And then if you try to refinance, they squirrel it around so bad to try to steal your property eventually. When they don't want to work with you, they just want to steal your property.
Well, it's 100% confiscation agenda, and I could tell from the start. And, you know, that's just it. They really don't want the light of day. They have used false processes and everything. I'm just sure of it. Did you folks see the 4-page document on robo-signing and RICO and all that that John did?
You mean, which page is it on?
It's 4 pages. Mine was me as the plaintiff calling out a crime against these guys, and at the bottom it says the sheriff should protect my rights.
Oh, but is that on the website?
I don't think so. My sheriff was the first one to get one. He was also the first sheriff in the country to get the targeted email to all sheriffs. That wasn't an email, it was a document, but he got it, you know, the same day it was produced.
Oh, I see. Okay. And been trying to avoid you since then?
It would seem so, but, you know, I've been just scrambling to put my life back together, recovering, so.
About people not leaving the road before it gets to the destination. I just muted Montana Dan. Okay. Anybody else have anything to add to this? Are there any cases coming up for anybody, like anybody you know or you?
Speak now, people.
All right. Well,
since nobody has a case, I wonder, did John ever get a phone number for the people that want to call a donation in rather than using the U.S. mail or PayPal? I tried to call him, and I couldn't get him.
What is that about, and how does that work?
Well, it's just like when you pay your electric bill online, when you pay your electric bill by phone, you just call in and give your credit card number. And because I don't want to use the mail, because even though they say you guys and us aren't a terrorist organization yet, they could change that tomorrow. And I don't use PayPal, but I want to make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered, he was
right.
Going to try to get a phone number for people like me.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I haven't heard of that either. But,
you know, I think Linda's off on Wednesdays, but when she's around, I've had good luck getting through to the guys through her, and maybe she could facilitate that.
Do you have her number handy?
I tend to catch her on Skype.
Oh, okay. I'm behind times, and I intend to stay that way. Okay, well, I'll just hang on then. And
yeah, is this what a Western Union, like something like that, or? Do you know what the service he was thinking of, or did you recommend something to him?
Me?
Yeah.
No, he was just going to try to get a phone number, and I feel almost positive that there are other people who don't want to use the mail to make a donation, and I just don't use PayPal. So I just, the other thing that I can say, and then I'll drop it for now, but if it just would take somebody financing an additional line, like if we needed to get a special phone line, and it's $10 or $20 a month, I would be willing to finance that through the end of the year if they wanted to add a phone line for donations and put that on the website and see if people were actually going to use it.
Yeah, I think if $10 to $20 a year, I really appreciate you doing it, but I think we could do that if we do get the donations. So I think the issue, though, and I'll just state this for the record, is that we're not a 501c3 corporation or anything like that, nonprofit corporation or anything like that. John has actually established a common law trust, and it's not really the way that, you know, they have people set up trust and things today. So that's why it makes it a little bit more complicated to send money and do these sort of things, because they're looking for the 501c3s. They're looking for these things, and we're not quite that. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think it's 501c3.
All right. Well, the offer is open. You know, if it would cost a few dollars a month, to get another phone line for that. I don't understand all of what you just said, but if it would take, you know, $25 or less, I would be willing to finance that through the end of the year to see if it was something people are going to use.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, I'll talk to John about that. I put that as maybe an agenda item. I'll talk to John about
Bringing up Skype here, see if there's a number attached.
So if anybody did anybody get on the call last night for the IRC?
I missed it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, it was really good because I want to go to the welcome, you know, link on the menu bar, and then you go to, you know, only something like Help Save America or something like that, and you get on there, and that's scroll down enough, and it tells you what, you know, they want the district leaders to do, but what it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a district leader to do the homework. And the next, what they're doing is they've created a call on how to talk to your sheriff, the points to make. You know, to make an appointment and stuff. I know that there's a lot of, you know, people have been having trouble, but it just depends. It's good to find out whether you can communicate or maybe it's going to take longer. But there's a bunch of documents on there that really have like a whole from start to from the beginning, and then, you know, making progress, like the first call, the second call, or the second appointment, or something like that. And then it has the points to make, but it has different, they're not quite ready with the PowerPoints yet, but it's really good to listen to the calls, because it, just listening to it and other people, it gives you more confidence to just take the plunge and do it. And so our sheriff, we saw him handing out flyers in front of the grocery store for how to protect senior citizens, and they're going to have a meeting at the library on Saturday. So we were going to just go in and try to, you know, use that
Good.
As a way in.
Yeah. Well, I pulled up Skype and found this number for you for Linda, if you want it. Hello?
Yes.
Okay,
509-592-4553.
All right, 509-592-4553. Yeah, and I don't know if maybe we could use the court observer process or something. I want to look for more people to come talk to my sheriff when it's time to talk general issues. I need to cover the latest, legal product there with him and discuss my own case probably first. But I'd like to have witnesses with me when I really talk to him.
Okay, so what they were saying is, and that was what we really need to do is download all those documents they have on that page, Help Save America, and then really study all the points that we need to know ourselves. But when we're wanting to get to know our sheriff, they told us it's a different thing. You do not want to discuss your case.
Yeah.
To get to know him. That's a different thing. And we did talk about that, like when it's going to be appropriate to do it. But at this point, just getting to know the sheriff and developing a relationship, if you can, and it's definitely worth the try, before you bring up a case. Because if you've actually, if you're able to develop a relationship with him, then it's a whole different story when anything comes up for you.
Well, it's interesting because I have land in two counties, the two bottommost counties in Vermont. And I'm very interested in finding out and vetting the other sheriff. I have every right to. And, like I said, I have a relationship with my sheriff. It's just troubled.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I think that call last night, I'm sure it's archived, right, Carl?
The call should be archived, yes.
Yeah, under the IRC. Under the IRC. And then people can listen to that because it was a really good call last night.
Yeah, let me see if it was recorded. It was recorded last night, yes. So there's that. And then where do we normally get it? We have it under the IRC committee?
It should be. That's what I mean, that's the Tuesday night call, right? I get
Yep,
up.
I see 2016 510 IRC. So it should be under there. Yep, committees, yeah. And then investigative research committee.
Mm-hmm. It definitely gives you more confidence.
There's a number of them on the sheriff's committee page, and a couple of them on the Monday night that are labeled about sheriff and committee of safety, etc., that are pretty good too.
Okay, thanks. So, Carl, I wanted to ask you this, and I guess it could be because I just I was a little confused. Is National Liberty Alliance working with the constitutional sheriffs now?
My understanding is that we are working with the constitutional sheriffs because the one person who took over, the family who took over the constitutional sheriffs, essentially bought them out, is very friendly to us.
Okay.
That is my understanding, although Sheriff Mack doesn't seem to even want to touch us. In some senses, because he's been poisoned by that other crew over there with that woman, Von Ritz. So, he's been a little poisoned still, but we have confidence he's going to come back eventually.
Well, the people that took over from him, aren't they in touch with him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they technically own the assets of the COS, which is essentially the domain and a few other things. So, yeah, I mean, supposedly he's supposed to, you know, they own the COS and are trying to help him in trying to help get it back up and really running well again. But, you know, sometimes leaders disagree with the, you know, he's going to disagree with them. So, you know, well, you know, at least the new family is very friendly. So that's what I guess we can hope for, that we can build on that.
Great. Well, does anybody have anything else they want to bring up?
Yep.
Well, I guess we can close the recording and everybody have a good night.
Well, if you don't mind, why was Richard Mack not liking the NLA?
Well, what had happened was he had been poisoned by this Anna von Ritz and the other common law, supposed common law grand jury movements out there. He still thinks that we're someone else that we're not, and that we've done all these things that were not us.
Yeah.
And we tried to express this to him, but he just, supposedly, my understanding is he's just still been poisoned by all of it. I don't know whether that's changed, because that information is probably about a month old. But, you know, he's, you know, we've worked with a lot of different people, and we are making some positive movements. I do want to say, even though Sheriff Mack, we may have some sort of, you know, we may have some disagreements, or with all that, we are still making a lot of new friends, and a lot of, we are in contact with some sheriffs.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it'd be easy to straighten things out just by, I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say, other than it seems like it's not very conducive to what everybody's trying to do to not listen.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so difficult sometimes to straighten out things with people. You know, I think it's personalities with a bunch of other things as well, but, you know, we really have to, and this goes out for everybody, we really just have to work together, because now's the time. I'm sick of fighting with people. So over petty things, and that's the truth. So I'm ready to move forward, so long as someone's not trying to pull me with a rope sideways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thanks for answering that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think it's quite amazing that how long National Liberty Alliance has been around and how much forward movement they make in spite of all this interference.
Yeah, I mean, we have massive interference on all levels. And, you know, it's very hard because a traditional organization that builds up, they don't actively have all these forces that are trying to destroy them. And unfortunately, we have all these secret forces, and a lot of them are pretty secret, trying to destroy us, whether it's, you know, the Anna von Ritz people, whether it's other people who have their big egos and want to, you know, take the mantle for whatever reason, of glory, mantle of glory, or for whatever reason they just don't like us. So, you know, despite all that, we're still going forward, and it's really exciting because things are about to get a whole lot more interesting in the coming months.
Well, what I've noticed, I've only been in this a year and a half now, and intensely a year and a half, trying to sort out the truth from the fiction. And it's amazing to me how many people sound like that they're trying to do something, and when you drill down and ask the hard questions, they can't answer them, you know. And they, I don't know whether it's controlled opposition or what it is, but that's just, there's more people, it looks to me like there's more people doing that than are actually have their heart in changing things. And that's just one person's opinion.
Well, you're right. I mean, to me, I feel like there's two different kinds of people who sabotage, and that is the people that are paid to do it, and then the people that their egos are so big that they know it all, and they, you know, just are destructive. Their ego is just so destructive they can't get anything done, or they can't join. They're not a team player, and so that's the two people. But you know, here's an example I experienced directly of this interference, because they have technology that can mimic your voice and make it sound like you said all kinds of weird stuff to somebody, and you didn't say it, but they have technology to make it, you think that they did, or they even have technology to make a video of somebody talking, and you can manipulate what they're saying, and it looks like they said it. So one time Gary was, in the beginning of the Monday night call, he was everybody, and one of my friends called in, and there was some kind of technical difficulty, and he said, well, just call back in. So she calls back in and announces herself, and she hears somebody say, well, who's that? And she hears Gary's voice say, well, you don't want to know who that is, because blah, 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 all this negative stuff about her. And I'm like, I didn't hear it. I think she was the only person that heard it, but I was able to straighten it out, because I emailed Gary and I said, this is what happened. What? He goes, I wouldn't know her to say anything like that. You know, he's greeting all these different people. He doesn't even know them. So I was able to talk to my friend and say, listen, they used the technology on you, because, so they've done it with us too. And so you have to always be on top of all this stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's readily available online. I mean, I think just any old body can get a hold of that stuff, that technology.
Probably now, yeah.
Yeah, I've looked it up and found, I can't remember, it's called Phantom something and whatever, but they can intercept your phone calls, and that has happened to me before. I won't go into that, but I do know that what you're saying is the truth, and you have to know who you're talking to. You have to know their character, their integrity, what they're about, and who they are. And I think John and Gerard and all of you put it out there really well and include the Lord in it, and you know, I think that we just have to remember who each other is, you know, as we get acquainted with one another, who each other are, I mean, as we get acquainted, and if there's something odd like that that comes up. See, that makes me think that with you not getting any cases, that really rang bells with me, to wondering whether somebody's intercepting your calls.
Not the calls, the emails, but we've checked that, too. And we've done tests, and I still get the forms. They come straight into my mailbox.
Yeah, I think it's just we're not advertising it at all at this point.
Yeah.
I think that's more the issue, to be quite honest with you, because, we generally get the same people in these calls, and we don't really have anywhere that's just flash, put your cases here. So maybe that's something we have to figure out and discuss, because, it probably started dying out at a steady pace. Would you agree with me on that?
What did you say again? It started what?
Like dying out at a steady pace.
So maybe, Well, maybe there should just be a menu link that says request courtroom observers. I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, no, I'll talk to John about that or leadership, and we'll discuss that. But I think that might be the issue because from here, I'm just looking at the menu. So if I'm a new member and I want to figure out where I need to go in order to submit my case, I wouldn't even know where to go. I have to go to. I know where I have to go to committees.
Well, I thought it said support or help or something. What did it say?
Well, there's support.
Get help, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's support. So.
Support. So it tells you, and it says request courtroom observers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also another thing, too, and I should probably just mention this on the call here. If you're not getting emails, there's a possibility that you're accidentally marking your mail as spam or that it's getting bounced because for some reason, if your email server was off for a couple days, which could happen if you either have your own or if your office server was off for a couple of days, you might be put on a list not to be sent emails again to. So if you're not receiving emails from the site, but you are receiving emails from the weekly newsletter, or you're receiving one but not the other, give me a call or holler, because that could also be a potential issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've noticed, and the reason why I say this is because I've noticed over the past maybe 3 weekly newsletters that there were maybe 1 or 2 state leaders who marked their mail as spam, and then there may be a couple other people who I know of who marked their mail as spam. And it's not that I... you know, I'll work on fixing that, but the system just automatically does that. Because if you mark your mail as spam, you're essentially sending a complaint that you shouldn't be getting this email. And if you get enough complaints, you could be put on a list where you can't send emails at all. So I just wanted to put that out there for people if they have email issues.
I have a new comment.
Yeah.
So, recently I've been, let me turn that off. I was reminded recently how our truth is so different from everyone else's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And how to get, that's the skill set that we have to work on teaching a little more about. To go talk to a sheriff, to talk to anybody, but even just to talk to friends and family that, you know, they really think we're fringe and that we're, you know, and meanwhile, I find us all to be so brave because there's definitely, you know, you're sticking your neck out for what's right and not everybody sees the same truth. So, again, we have to reiterate anytime we can of how right we are about the way the system is, because they're really not believing it. And that's a conversation that we have to find new words to tell the story. What do you think?
Well, on the call last night, well, and I've noticed it because I've learned how to speak to my family better, I would say, to help them understand, and I've noticed them come along because, of course, you know, we're considered the black sheep. Somebody volunteered in the family to do it. So I just have learned how to use the language that they understand and just push them a little bit further. instead of trying, because I think I used to just want them to get it the way I got it. and that doesn't do anything. I mean, that really pushes them away. And so last night on the call, I was talking about, you know, if you to start finding out what, how, like offering your help to the sheriff, like what is his issues and what is his problems that he's dealing with, too.
Well, I just seen my local sheriff was sitting in a round circle with Donald Trump, and I think that he's going to be working for him in the future, and we're going to lose our sheriff from this county here. But like I see from, I'm in a New York County, and we see how our sheriffs are very politically connected to the Capitol, and not that they're bad guys. A lot of them are very, you know, they're not taking their guns. You know, they really stand up for us on a lot of issues, and would never turn on the people, I know. But again, this system that is chugging along with how many federal prisoners they get and this money exchange for the prison system and everything that is right through their office, they control a lot of money up through their ranks, and they have a say in things. So yeah, it's a whole, they're on guard for sure. And the closer you are to big cities, your sheriffs are going to be more on guard and not even know what they're protecting. Like I said, this is our reality of the world at large, and the money system and everything that's going on is so much different than everyone else's. So even the sheriff that you go to talk to, you might even know him from high school or something, and it's an issue. It's like they're totally in a whole different world of, like, the lawyer world, you know, and they just don't see even their own power. They just go along to get along and try to become get elected again. They almost become politicians.
No, you did not. So when I come up, I'll give them to you. I couldn't hear you. I just heard Mitha Carbonell.
Go ahead, Peter.
Well, I missed my place. but just about the sheriffs being, having a lot to deal with to come our direction because of the money involved. And yet they have every right to come our direction, yet there's forces, you know, that control a lot of the, you know, and again, sometimes they're even looking at it's like about a political, you know, Republican, Democrat, that little fight that everyone has through ego growing up, which I hope someday we get rid of this two-party system and get some normality to the system. But this is our biggest trouble talking to our sheriffs. I know that they're very, like ours is directly, you know, very close with Donald Trump and has been seen in some of the latest photos and roundtable discussions and different things, and which, you know, good, you know, even better yet, you know, and like I say, it's John's county sheriff also, so I haven't really had a talk with John about if he's had any discussions with him, but he may be a perfect person to try to get a new face on something. Definitely need some new faces to come forward. I mean, our I wish I could say our membership has been growing at rates that we'd like to see, but it's, you know, it's hard work, it's difficult work, it takes some concentration, and God bless everybody that's doing it, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, Carl, what do you think we should...
Ending the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's do it. So I appreciate everybody calling in. I'll let you know whether